Blog Talk Radio.
Royal Dream Dreams. Royal Call. Okay, that was Royal Dreams.
Yeah. Back up on my team, had to chase my royal dream. You can check sophistication, just evaluate the scene. Ain't it tragic how we pause our power based on what people think? It's time to take it back, cause we can't sit on a bench and jive. Long as we divided, we'll never see true meaning. Lost inside division, living only through five senses. Imagine what else you missing inside that little vision. That's why you can't see them demons crawling inside your little kitchen. We gon' stay buff like hives and fly to true ambition. Till them numbers just multiply, then we can start to build it. None of you rappers wrong, but all of you rappers wrong. Why do you choose to be fake and give us the wackest song? We can just make a stand so records and labels can die. I don't need your advance, so I can just bubble and fry. Rather just make a band with all of my brothers and ride. Take over motherland, make all of you governments die.
Think of your crown,
Welcome. What's going on, everybody? This is your boy, Dr. Will Rogers, a.k.a. Master Teacher 33. And today is Thursday, January or Janus, the 17th of 2019. And the time is 12 noon Central Time. As always, we have another outstanding show scheduled for you today. And as you know, I like to get right into the meat of the message. I know your time is valuable. I respect you. I respect your time. So I do not want to waste your time. I want to spend as much time revealing, explaining, illuminating, and simplifying the word of God, the word of Yahuwah and his son, Yahushua. So today, my brothers, my sisters got a powerful show scheduled for you today. I also got a guest speaker. I got my daughter on the line. She's going to be dropping some knowledge on this topic today because, this is the barn burner today, brothers and sisters. We want to talk about the gender of spirit. What gender is spirit? There is a debate that's not a debate that most of the old timers are not aware of. I talk to people and I talk to my children, and this whole transgender thing that's out. The divine gender of the triune or the triunity or the trinity is something that hasn't been taught or many people don't really look at. There are people who are born with the gender of male that believe they're female. And then there are people that are born with the gender of female that believe that they're male. And then we are spirits at our core, at our base. And what is spirit? What is the gender, if you will, of spirit? And why is this even an issue? Why is this even a topic? So today, brothers and sisters, I want to talk about something as a feelingpreneur, which is one of the terms that I coined for this year. For the members of the Kingdom Millionaires Training Center, you understand that we are superpreneurs. We are feelingpreneurs. We have feelings. And our feelings, we bring about what we feel about. So how does it feel to be a male that's trapped in a female's body or a female that's trapped in a male's body? And what is the dynamics? What is the mental dynamics that a person goes through, whether it be positive or negative? How do you feel? What's the mental disposition, and what is the spirit, or what is the biblical? Now, we pretty much know what the biblical take is it, or what the Bible says on certain things when it comes to, homosexuality and some things of that nature. But we want to talk about gender and spirituality in light of the current reality that we live in, and in light of over an understanding that when we talk about the nature of God and the spirit of love, because God is divine love. God is love. God didn't create love. He is love. And so we have to look at this, because there's a lot of people who don't feel love. So divine love transmutates or transmutes this thing that we call evil. And so now we have to look at, when we talk about, okay, what is the gender of God? When we look at the personifications or the three divine persons of what is taught in traditional Christianity, we talk about the Trinity of the divine persons, if you will. They are co-equal and they coexist. And that's what I hear a lot when I hear people talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But what's interesting is that there is no divine matter or mother. So there is a divine Father, there's a divine Son, but there is no Holy Mother. Now, when we get into the Catholic theology and we talk about, you know, they equate or they elevate Mary to that status as the mother or the mater or the matter. But when we look at it from the ancient text or the esoteric text or from a traditional Abrahamic religion, we have the divine Father, the divine Son, but there is no divine mother. There is just the mother is the spiritus, or the divine femininity is expressed through the Holy Spirit. And so when we talk about this subject, it's really an interesting topic, because now it's bleeding over into nature. So there are two divine genders. There are two universal forces of nature. There's a universal mental operation, if you will, of nature. So this universal principle of nature, these two divine genders, they transcend the entire natural world that we live in. And so these are supernatural forces. These are supernatural operations. These are supernatural principles. These are supernatural laws. These are the two divine genders. These are the personifications. These are the divine essence. This is the divine expression, if you will, of love. So God is love, and God expresses, exposes, and expands himself in this frequency or this wave or this vibration. So it's like asking, what gender is a tool? Like, if I have a hammer, what gender is the hammer? Is the hammer male or female? Well, the hammer is a hammer. The hammer, does it take on the attributes or the characteristics of a male when it is expressed or used by the male? And does the hammer take on the attributes and the characteristics of a female when it is used by a female? And why is that even an issue, or why is that even important? Well, the reason why it's very important, as you will see. So let me make sure that Shamora is here. I'm going to mute her mic. So and Shamora is my daughter. She's a freshman at, make sure I get this right, Stephen F. Austin, right, Shamora?
Yes.
Okay, so Shamora, say hi to everybody and introduce yourself, you know, name, rank, serial number, all that good stuff.
Hi, my name is Shamora Rogers. I'm currently a freshman at Stephen F. Austin, like previously stated. I'm majoring in theater, and I'm 18, and I'm soon to be 19 at the end of January. And yeah, that's me, you know, just a little youngster here, I guess.
So Shamora, what we were talking about earlier, could you share with everybody, like, your friends and what is your take? What do they teach you in college? What do you know about trans? First of all, the terms that you were sharing, like the one word that you just shared, when you say that for someone like yourself, you're called a trans, what was it called?
Well, first off, like, nobody really taught me these things. Like, you know, in our school system and everything, nobody kind of just sits down and goes, this is transgender, this is what this means, this is that. So nobody knows any of these things. You kind of have to go out and research them for yourselves. For me, I just woke up, you know, today, this morning, scrolling through my social media, and I saw a good friend of mine from middle school, and he, you know, like, retweeted this video about, and he was talking about how, like, how ignorant he was and everything, and how, like, everybody has ignorance that they're constantly combating. So I was like, okay, what is this? You know, trying to enlighten myself. And I click on this video, and it was, like, 35, 40 minutes long, and it's all talking about, like, you know, the basically transgender and dating within the community, and how it, like, what that means and how it all is, and just all the stuff that trans people, transgender people, like, go through. And some of the terminology that I found out was the definition of transgender. Most people believe it to be, oh, you were born, you believe that, God, catch my breath for a second. Basically, most people believe that transgender is, oh, you were born in the wrong, you believe you were born in the wrong gender or the wrong body, so you change yourself to go to a different body. But the politically correct definition is you don't identify with your assumed gender given at birth, so you're finding your true gender. That's what transgender means, according to YouTube and people that I've watched. And then cisgender is when the assumed gender given to you at birth, you do identify with that. That is your true gender. So, for example, at birth, my assumed gender, per se, for lack of a better term, was female, and I still identify with that as female. That's what cisgender is. For lack of a better term, not being politically correct, I have no desire to be a male, so I'm live in a male body or believe myself to be a male. So I'm cisgender, essentially, is what that means.
Wow. So cisgender. And brothers and sisters, as she was sharing, if you could, you know, sense how carefully she chose her words. And I'm really, really proud of Shamora, especially at 18. And she's the youngest of, you know, of my five kids. And one of the things that stands out about me when I talked to Shamora is when she was in high school and she would come home and we would have these conversations about things of this nature and getting into the spiritual understanding of the difference between what I call paternal and maternal. M-A-T and then P-A-T. P-A-T being more of the, again, divine masculine. P-M-A-T being more of the divine feminine. Now, obviously, this isn't something that, to my knowledge, isn't expressed, exposed, and expanded in a deep, esoteric, or biblical, or spiritual manner, which is why I have these conversations with my children, and hopefully you have the conversations, these type of conversations with your children, because this is the identity. This is the next generation. This, you know, when my daughter, Alec and Janai, when I talk with them, the conversations, because they're in middle school, and then the water gets even more, a little bit more muddied, I guess you could say. So, Shamora, when you talk to, like, your friends, like you were sharing with me, like some of your friends, and you guys get together and you talk, how does it feel? Like, do you have a friend that's either, you know, a lesbian or, you know, homosexual or, you know, gay? I don't know what the two term is, politically correct term is for the male. How do they feel when they talk to you? Are they accepted? Do they feel loved, valued, respected? What's the consensus now on campus? And then also going back to your days at Warren in high school when you was a senior, and your friends that you either knew or that you saw, were they openly accepted? Did they feel the same love, respect that you get?
Well, hopefully, I really hope that they do, and I try to do that, because regardless of what your whatever you identify, that you know, I try to just be respectful and, you know, kind of understanding of everybody. And I firmly believe that just because I don't understand something or someone's life choices or whatever, as long as you're not harming yourself or anybody else for that matter, I don't really care. But for me, in college, my freshman year, my roommate, she was a lesbian, and we lived together, and I had no problem with it, because it's, you know, it's not like she's constantly checking for me. Like, a lot of people were surprised that I was able to live with, and, you know, in a dorm room, you know, small spaces, I change in my room. I do everything that you do when you live in your room, and I wasn't fazed by it. And, you know, we actually met at this consolidation party because my original roommate decided not to go to my college anymore, so I had to find a new one. And she was living with her roommate, and her roommate was awful. Her roommate was, like, kept on telling her, like, she was going to hell and all these, you know, very critical and, like, homophobic terms that she was really doing. So she was essentially being harassed by her previous roommate. And so when, you know, she sat down and we first met her, honestly, I was like, okay, she seems kind of calm, chill, and I didn't really know anything. And then she's like, wait, like, I have to tell you something, like, before we become roommates. And I was like, what's up, Natty? Like, what is it? And she was like, I'm a lesbian. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. So, like, so you still in a room together, right? And she was just like, I think she was generally surprised and shocked that I wasn't very necessarily, like, grossed out or had a big reaction to it. Because, you know, just because someone is gay or likes the same gender doesn't necessarily that they mean that they like me. And, you know, I don't know. It's just kind of like regardless, putting religion aside and whatever you believe, to me, like I remember in middle school, a good friend of mine, he came out as gay in middle school. And that's a very, very hard thing to do at a very young age. And I don't know if you've ever been to middle school, but middle school freaking sucks, okay? It's possibly the worst time of your life. And I can't imagine going through that and then being gay. So, like, the fact that he did that and, you know, not necessarily the way that I was raised, but just kind of like the default setting in my mind was he's gay, that's bad. But I, like, talking to him, like, and I was like, maybe I should not hang out with him anymore because that he's gay. But just thinking that in my mind, it felt wrong. Like, it felt wrong for me, and I felt terrible. Like, why am I, like, he's still the same person. it felt wrong for me to turn my back on him just because he was gay. So I continued that friendship, and we're still friends today. So for me, like, I mean, if you're not necessarily doing anything hurtful to me, I mean, if you're, I'm not, at the end of the day, I'm not going home with you. I'm not trying to have a romantic relationship with you, so it doesn't matter to me at all. And that's kind of how I feel about it. I try to, again, just listen to people. Like me, I'm like, why am I on a, you know, Friday morning or Thursday morning watching, you know, videos on the correct way and the correct terms for transgender and stuff like that? Just because I just want to understand how they think about it. Because the way that I think about it, you know, may be wrong, may be right. The way that they think about it may be wrong or may be right. I just think we should all try to listen to one another because some of the things that they were saying made complete and total sense to me. And some of the things that they said, I wasn't completely convinced on. So if I want someone to listen to me and what I talk, like, why should people care about biracial women? Why should people care about black women? Why should people care about women or black women in general, you know, you all have to listen to what I have to say first. So that's kind of all it is. Just trying to listen to what they have to say, and then I can, you know, develop my own opinions and stuff myself.
Right. Awesome, Shamor. Thank you so much, man. That was powerful. Thank you so much, Shamor, because, you know, that's some of the issues that our children are battling today because we don't even, like, break down these terms for them or assist them. And so I know I talk to my children all the time to assist them with this because on the spiritual side of things, you know, we talked about the physical. Now we got to elevate the game a little bit to the spiritual aspect of it. There is a spiritual identity crisis. So if you don't have an identity, you have to put on one. Let me say that again. If you don't have an identity, you have to put on one. And gender is very important because the word gender, if you actually look it up in the research and understand the etymology of the word gender means it means kind or stock. And it's really interesting because now it's all throughout the Bible. And, you know, I was going to break it down a bunch of scriptures and all that stuff, but that, you know, you guys can look that up. It's mentioned in the book of Genesis when God made man and he made him according to, and he says, and he put all of the animals after their kind. And that word kind, it said each one was made after their kind. So the word gender means kind. It means sort. It means class. It means stock. And then we get into some terms that separate. The word gender has to do with the division of species. It divides. But the word gender comes from the word genus, where we get the word generation. It means to bring forth. So G-E-N-U-S is really what gender is. And it has to do with the dividing of a particular family into subcategories or classes. So it's a division. It takes one cell and it divides it into two, three, or four different cells. So this word G-E-N-U-S and G-E-N-D-E-R, those words are terms or words that has a biological expression that allows us to establish stock, S-T-O-C-K, or kind, K-I-N-D, has to do with the word family and with the word begot, or it's a Sanskrit word that means B-E-G-E-T, to beget or begot. These are ways in which there is a separation or a division of what you and I call spiritus or spirit, which gets into what the main focus of today's message is about, and that is spiritual gender or spiritual ID. Now, this is what I do for a living, because I didn't have a spiritual identification. I didn't have a physical identification either, but I really didn't have a spiritual identification. So what Shamora just said was extremely important, because, you know, Shamora's a freshman in college, and then, like she said, that, you know, she doesn't judge people on their gender, whether what they choose to be, because she doesn't want to be judged on her gender or her race or anything of that matter. Now, that's scriptural as well, because the Bible says for us not to judge. It says, judge not, lest ye be judged. And we're supposed to love everybody. So everything that Shamora just said is biblically as well as spiritually correct. And that's what anybody should and most of us are doing. So now the real problem, though, or the concern, I shouldn't say problem, is how did all of this get started? What causes someone to question their identity? If you are born and you look down and if you got a penis, or if you look down and you got a vagina, and there are children that are born with something in their brain that dislikes or says that there's an error, or they feel, or whatever the I may not be using the correct terminology, but whatever the terminology is, they come to a place where there is an identity crisis. So they were born a specific way, but either something they've seen, something they heard. Now, I've talked to a lot of people. You guys know we've done a few shows on this. I talked about sex, I talked about spirituality, and I talked about superiority, you know, and we've done that show already. And the reason why this is so important is because now, especially within the African American community, and my buddy Dr. Umar Johnson, who does a lot on this, we're talking about the genderification of the black male, the neutering of the black male, the feminization of the black male, and you see it everywhere, especially within the black race. And we also can get into the whole idea of marrying outside of your race. We've talked about that before, where, you know, it's a blending, it's a watering down, it's a colorization, it's the whitewashing, if you will, of the race. But as you know, if you've been listening to any of my stuff, race is a non-issue. Melanin is a non-issue, because there is no race in the spirit realm. So when we talk about gender, the next question is there a gender in the spirit realm? Because remember, gender is a division. Based upon the definition of the word, it's taking one cell and dividing it into two. And that's what, when we talk about gender, we're talking about the separation of something. It's bringing about a separation of them. Now, whether or not we want to agree with that, that's just the definition of the term. So now we've got to look at the crisis. Now, an identity crisis is when something becomes insecure or questions that identity. As, you know, Shamora just talked about, you know, a lot of her family and a lot of, you know, kids on campus, they are questioning their identity. And so without an identity, the same thing that happens physically is the same thing that happens spiritually. So what's going on spiritually with the people that I talk to, the thing that keeps you in Groundhog's Day. So if you do not know the things that I know, if you don't know what we talked about in my private class last night in Matthew chapter 13, verse 12, where it says that Jesus spoke in parables, we're his offspring. We are the children of God. So we have been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So if we don't know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God is that word kingdom. The word kingdom means basileia. The word basileia, it means the right of rulership, of dominion, of ownership. It has to do with a realm of mastery. It has nothing to do with a place or a destination. It has to do with a realm. It has to do with a mental disposition that says you have authority, that you have power to trample on snakes and scorpions and all power of the enemy, and nothing shall by no means harm you. So the problem is we don't have an identity. We are lacking a spiritual ID card. We cannot trace back our identification back to the Father. So if you don't have a historical connection, and if you notice, especially within inside of the African-American community, supposedly when we came over here, they disconnected us from our history. They changed our language, changed our name, and they gave us a history. So again, if you can't trace back, if you can't find the etymological roots of whose and who you are, then you have to make it up. You have to choose. And then now we get into understanding where the transgenderification came from, because there's no root. If there's no root, there's no fruit. You can't trace your gender back. You can't trace your identity back. So if you're not a son or a daughter of God, then you could be a monkey, you could be a Nephilim, or you could be, you know, anything. And so it's extremely important. I think I lost my audio. Let me switch over here. There we go. All right. I don't know what happened. My mic just went out. But anyway, this is extremely important. But without, can you guys hear me? Without this clear understanding of your spiritual identity. What happens is we become watered down. We do not have the ability to connect with source. We lose our ability to connect with God. That's extremely important, brothers and sisters.
Without the ability to connect with God, then something happens to you. What happens is whatever the enemy sends your way, whatever enemy tells you you are, you can choose. It's like getting down to understand what I'll be talking about doing these shows. Because at the end of the day, nothing matters more than you understanding you. Now, what does that mean? At the end of the day, brothers and sisters, the only thing that matters is how do you identify yourself and where do you get that information from? How do you identify yourself and what? Like, if you cannot trace your identity back to something, you have to make it up. You have to make up your own identity, or you have to choose an identity. You have to choose a side. And so what's happening now is we're asking children to choose a side. We're asking children to make adult decisions when we should be pointing to the root or the foundation that allows us to be what we call people or spiritual beings. Now, without going really, really deep into it, because this stuff gets really, really deep, when we start talking about the spiritual aspects of under, over, and understanding, what is spirit and where does it come from? So I cannot make up these terms and these definitions. So How is it that we are doing that today? So, for example, how do we come up with the terms and the definitions today? Not only were we just talking about, were we just talking about transgender, gender or trans, identification issues, the inability to connect with your true spiritual identity causes the inability to connect with your physical identity, because you are a spirit being first. So if your consciousness that comes from and that is God. Because there's a lot of things, brothers and sisters, that this is a very deep conversation, because we're talking about the procreative divinity that is inborn, that is innate. It is an innate quality. So if you go outside to get that quality, then that means it's not innate. It's not inborn. And so if I go inside my genes and my genetic pool, there's a biological infrastructure inside. Now, it started out as one, and then through cellular mitosis, it mutated, or the cells doubled. And it's through this process of doubling that I went from being one to being male. And through this process, because when the sperm meets the egg, it fertilizes. And then it starts this process. And from that process, a specific gender comes out of that process without getting deep into the biological process. That's not something that you choose. That's something that was chosen for you. It's called predestination. And so this predestination, again, when we look at it, and so now we've got to look at the mind. Because when we talk about this, and I'm going to ask Shamora to answer this from her, because this is, because remember, their generation now is combating these issues. And so, Shamora, when you talk to your friends and they question their gender, have you ever talked to anybody and went into a deep conversation, like what started the question? Why is that a question? You know, removing the feelings, because feelings change, just like the weather. You feel like a male and you're a female, or just because you feel like a female and you're a male, if we remove the feelings away, if we remove the religion away, if we remove biology away, have you ever had a conversation with anybody, Shamora, or what do you think when we talk about this subject of gender? What is the thing that goes on in the brain of the person that gives them the validity, or gives them the foundation, or gives them the gumption to make the statement that says, my body says that I'm a male, but my brain says I'm a female, so I want to be a female. So what has that conversation, if you've had that conversation with anybody, how has that conversation went?
So basically for me, I've never, you know, had a conversation with a transgender person. I've only had a conversation with, as far as like lesbian, gay, bisexual people, I've never really had a conversation with a transgender person. So just from what I've seen as far as like social media and like in television, in the media and stuff, they always just kind of say, and I don't mean to generalize anybody here, but from what I've seen is it's kind of just like, this is what I feel. From a young age, they just knew that something wasn't right, or like they wanted to, like if they had a sister, they wanted to wear their sister's clothes, and they wanted to play with their sister's stuff and everything like that. As far as the conversations that I've had with my friends, she's also identified like as a natural born woman, and you know, as a straight woman, identifies as straight or whatever. We kind of just don't fully understand the need to want to go all the way to that extreme as far as, like, okay, you can say, like, you're gay or, like, I'm, like, for example, like, if I were to say, like, I'm a female and I'm attracted to women, that doesn't necessarily, like, I have, like, we don't understand that the extreme or-ness to be saying, oh, because not, but then I want to feel, like, or I feel that I'm a man, so I'm going to be a man. And I've never had that feeling before, and I don't know what that would feel like. As far as, I actually watched this very interesting documentary, and it was, like, parents who decided to let their children from a very young age basically begin transitioning and becoming transgender as far as, like, wearing, like, this one woman, she had a son, and he was maybe, like, 8 or 9, and he was identified as a girl and had, like, a girl name and was wearing girl clothes, and, like, the parent, like, her mom, like, his parents let him do that or let her do that. And when they talked to the kid about it, they were like, don't you feel, like, too young? Or, like, her, the parents were like, don't you feel like, he's too young to make this decision? And she was like, I was against it, but all I knew was that he was constantly trying to hurt himself, you know, because he wanted, you know, he felt that he was a woman. He wanted to be a girl. So one day she caught him in the restroom basically trying to cut his penis off because he, and that was him at a young age. That was him at like 6 or 7. And that's what he wanted to do. So she was like, for me as a parent, it was either have this guy, my kid trying to cause harm to himself or just let him wear a dress, you know, let him grow his hair out type thing. So it's a very difficult thing to decide, like, as a parent, because you don't want to see your, no parent wants to see their child in pain. But I've never experienced that feeling. So I guess I can't really rightfully so talk about it. And I've never, you know, I've never met a transgender person. I've never had to sit down and have a conversation with them. All I know is what has been presented to me in the media. So, yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Shamora, because that's extremely important. You know, that there isn't a nailed down, you know, now we all know a lot of the stuff comes from trauma. You know, like traumatic events or something some type of traumatic event that happened in that child's life or some type of traumatic event that was passed down that's in that child's gene. And there is DNA trauma imprint. There's psychological imprinting that takes place. That's a lot of the stuff that's proven through slavery. That's why black folks who never been in slavery still act like they're slaves. There is psychological imprinting that affects you and is passed down from generation to generation. The Bible talks about the sins of the fathers passed down to the son. So from my understanding and from a lot of stuff that I've researched and understand, I understand the psychological imprinting that takes place with children that their parents or grandparents who've done or was, and that left an imprint on their soul. And so that's another topic that we could look into or talk about as well when we talk about this subject. But the most important thing for me is understanding that when we as people forget our spiritual connection, meaning that how do we establish our spiritual identity? You have a spiritual ID card. If you do not know what your spiritual ID card is, you have to select one. You have to pick one. You just go, it's like going to the store and you do, you know, it's like wearing a suit. So if I don't have my suit, my spiritual suit that was designed and given to me by the creator of creators, then I get to pick a suit. But it doesn't change the design or the suit that I got. I just put a suit on top of the other suit. And so what's going on, what is happening is that when we talk about certain things, for example, when I ask a question about angels, and is there, have you ever seen baby angels? Are there baby angels anywhere in the Bible? Or there is, how do angels procreate? How do angels get here? Do angels have sex? Do angels engage in procreations? The answer would be no. because angels are made, or they are created beings. They're not born. There's not a sexual thing, that this whole sexual thing that we get down here. If we go to the ancient texts, that was a part of the fall. That was a part of what happened in the garden. Even though they talk about apples, we know the ancient texts know that that was something deeper going on than just eating the fruit. But that's another study for another time. What the problem is, when we look at the core, when we trace it all the way back to the etymology, we trace it back to there is no spiritual identification. And I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about connecting to a name. I'm talking about understanding that there is something that is innate. There is something that is G-E-N-U-S, genus. That is something that is imprinted on that allows you to germinate or to generate. And so when we talk about this from a biblical or a spiritual perspective, now we get into understanding how the further removed you are from your spiritual ID, the more identity problems you have. Now, as a young man growing up, that was one of the things that I had to go through. Just like a lot of us, we went through different things identity-wise, and I used to get hit on by this one guy. He was a gay. I mean, he was flaming homosexual. He was way out there, and he used to tell me all the time, hey, how do you know you don't like it? And when I was like, I had just got to the little town that I was in. I was 11, 12 years old, and then that thought was planted into my head that made me question my identity. And so, but the question wasn't about, the question was, whether or not you like, because if you have no experience with boys or girls, then the question is, how do you know you don't like boys if you're a boy? How do you know you like girls if you're girls? Well, thankfully for me, that was something, inside of me that made it really easy and made it crystal clear. Because, number one, I had seen boys and I had seen girls, and I know that there was a clear distinction between boys and between girls and their behavior. And that was something else that I had, which was spiritual identification. Because I was raised with a praying mother. I was raised with a mother who taught me the basics of spirituality. Not religion, but she gave me prayer. She gave me the power of prayer. She didn't give me religion or denomination. She just told me, boy, you got a problem, you go, you talk to God, he'll answer. And she didn't even tell me how to talk to God. She just told me that that's something that you should do. She said that there is something out there that's bigger than you. I don't even much remember her identifying it. Maybe she did. I just don't remember because it was such a long time ago. But the identity crisis that's taking place is because it is a failure to identify with the true authentic imprint or the true authentic source. That's why I do etymology. So etymology is the ability to trace back all the way by starting right where you are at with your name, with your date of birth, with your time of birth, with your blood type, all the stuff I talk about with the Dear Kinnear Report. Why? Because I didn't have an identity. I had no idea. So then I put on stuff. You can always tell people who have an identity crisis or people who don't have no identity, they always wear other people's stuff. They always identify with other people. They don't have an identity. They did what I did. That's why I know this stuff. I didn't have an identity. So what I did, I went into the Marines. They gave me a uniform. They gave me a title that said that now you're a private. Then I went to corporal. Then I went to, Lance Corporal, Sergeant, Staff Sergeant, Gunner. So you go up the rank. They gave me a rank. That was my ID. What happened when I got out of the Marines? I was lost. Why? They took my identity. They said, you're no longer a Marine. So I immediately went into law enforcement. What did they do? They gave me a badge. They gave me a gun. They gave me a title. Every job I've had, they gave me a freaking uniform. They gave me a title. They gave me a badge, or they gave me some kind of identity. Then I went to the church, and then they gave me an identity. You're a deacon. You're a minister. These identities are man. But it wasn't until I got to God and I got my God-given identity that's inside of my spiritual DNA. It doesn't come from man. It comes from God. And when you get that identity, helps you to establish your gender, spiritual identity. Because if you go all the way back, and the big question is, what gender is spirit? Because God is spirit. So that gets to the question of what gender is God Okay, what gender is electricity? What gender is magnetism? I'm pausing because I'm, you know, because see what happens is when you ask that question about source, it doesn't even register because tools don't have genders. They don't have race. This is all designed for division. This is what you call a distraction. This is what people focus on instead of focusing on things that can help other people, like love, joy, peace, gentleness, meekness, self-control. But what we're talking about, we talk about gender, we talk about race, we talk about, you know, economics, we talk about money, we talk about sex, we talk about houses, we talk about cars, we talk about sports. You know how much time and energy and money spent talking about sports? Is that eternal? What transcend time? Gender doesn't transcend time. Spirit does. So God is spirit. The Bible says spirit is the pneuma and it is the ruach. It is the animating principle of the body. It's the thing that animates the body. It's the chi over in the Orient and in the East. So what gender is chi? Chi is the essence behind gender. What gender is one? What gender is two? What gender is three? What gender are numbers and what gender are letters? They are symbols, but behind those symbols, there is a substance. What gender is that substance? When you trace gender back, it becomes a non-issue. Now, it's an issue for us. It's like race. What race is God? What race is spirit? Is spirit black, blue, green? Is spirit Hispanic? Is spirit African? There are Negroes that are pro-African. They'll hurt you if you're not down with their cause. Now, I am not against, but I'm for. I'm for spirit. Because God is spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit. And so when we get to understanding, when we talk about gender, the best way to help people is to assist them with identifying with source or spirit. Now, how they choose to express, expose, and expand that spirit, that's another study for another time, because that's what's happening. It is the expression of the spirit of God or the spirit that was given from God. Whether you believe in God, that's even irrelevant. Because there is something that animates your body. It's not you. You did not bring you into this dimension. You did not birth yourself. You cannot go back and show me no proof, no records or nothing. None of us can. So that's how we know that there is something, that we came from something. We came from somewhere. So we got to trace our way back to that something. Because what happens when you do that? You identify with things that's inside of you. What's for example, I can remember. There are certain characteristics that are and attributes that's found inside of this number six. I don't necessarily like the number six. I just like the attributes and characteristics that's behind the number six. So those attributes and characteristics that come from adding up the numbers in my date that I was born. I didn't choose the day where I was born. So if I'm talking to somebody, and I have a lot of clients who, you know, or went through this particular, that's why I'm doing the topic today. And this is what I tell my clients who are going through this gender and having difficulties because society demonizes one part or the other. And there are some, again, we didn't talk about the biological stuff because, again, you cannot get past that because you cannot tell me that the anus is an exit area. It's not an entry point biologically. It has nothing to do with feelings. Biology says that. So how do you get past that? Now we got all the scriptures. We could talk about that. But let's look at the biological aspect of it. So biologically speaking, that there's an issue, there's a problem. And so that means it gets into the psyche or the psychosis or the brain or the spirit. So the spirit, again, the mind, the will, the emotion, the imagination, and the intellect is fractured. The scripture talks about that. It talks about having a retrograde mind. And so the way to assist is to return back to source, where that becomes a non-issue. And then when it becomes a non-issue, you are able to really identify with the true problem. What's the true problem? You have no identity. So if you don't have no identity, you feel. What do you feel? Well, it depends on what the weather. Your feelings change. So what am I saying? You can't trust your feelings. So you got to go back. Okay, feelings come from what? Feelings come from, because what you feel, you go out and you act. So if you feel like a female, even though if you're male, you're going to act like one. So, okay, your feelings. Your feelings come from what? Your thoughts. But your thoughts are not your own. Your thoughts are piped into your head. Your thoughts are given to you. Scientists have proven thoughts doesn't generate in the brain. They generate outside the brain. They generate in your consciousness, which is not inside the brain. It's outside of the brain. And it's not inside the heart. It's outside the heart. And it's connected to the gut. And the gut is connected to something else because it's frequencies, it's waves, it's vibration, it's spirits, it's jinns, it's genies, it's what the ancient texts call tutelary. What does that mean? Well, if you go back to the word gender, when we looked at the definition of the word gender, and we broke that down, then we looked at it come from the word G-E-N-U-S, which is very similar to the word G-E-N-I-U-S. But this word, G-E-N-U-S, which breaks down this whole gender, that comes from the word gens, and we've talked about that before, G-E-N, take the G and put the J. What do you get? Gens. We've done many shows on the gens. What were they? There was a class. There was a kind of being. Those were the fire beings that existed before mankind, before our genes, our biological expression ever existed. Now, I don't want to lose anybody by going into discussion of the J-I-N-Ns, but they talked all throughout the Quran. Those was a whole, their definition is the exact same as this word, genus. G-E-N-U-S. And when you research that word, you find that same word that gets into what we call genius, G-E-N-I-U-S. And that means inborn with a tutelary spirit. It means innate or quality. It means ingenium. It means inborn character. And so there is an inborn character. And that's what has to be dealt with, that inborn character. You can't buy it. It's inborn. That's why they feel so strongly about the way that they feel. Because what is it? It is an inborn character. It is an inborn tutelary spirit. Now, that word tutelary, T-U-T-E-L-A-R-Y. Again, this is all inside of this one, the definition of this word that we call gender, gene, or genes. And then der, or deer. These are the way that your genes were endeared. And tutelary, that means a guardian or protector. Now, I know this gets a little deep, but you have to be able to understand the spiritual etymology of tutelage. Now, this word tutelary comes from the word tutor. Tutor comes from the word neuter. Why did they, in the ancient texts, in the Bible, all the scriptures, they would only let eunuchs be around the king, the king's harem? What is a eunuch? A eunuch is a genderless. Usually it was the male, but he had his gender removed. Why? That way he doesn't produce no testosterone. He has no urges. So the king doesn't have to worry about him messing with his harem. Why? He has no gender. Only eunuchs, and this is all throughout the Bible, by the way, only eunuchs. This gender problem goes back to the eunuch problem. The eunuch problem goes back to the tutelary problem. The tutelary problem, a tutelary means somebody that's designed to watch and protect. The word tutelary comes from the Latin word tutelarius, T-U-T-E-L-A-R-I-U-S, tutelarius. It means guardian. And when we're looking at this, this is the watchers. That's why angels are what? Genderless. What do? Watch. What do they call? The watchers. What do they do? What does the word tutelary come from, though? It comes from the word tutor. T-U-T-O-R, tutor. What is a tutor? What did the eunuchs do? See, if you trace that, if you do etymology on any problem, you will find the cause. You will find the source. That word tutor, it comes back to the same thing as the word tutelage and tutelary. A tutor is somebody that gives instruction. It's like a teacher. It's something that's designed to, a tutor is almost like a guardian. It's like a custodian. It's like somebody that's like your private teacher, somebody that's designed to watch over you. Well, everybody's assigned a tutelary. Everybody's assigned a tutor at birth. They just had a bad tutor, if you want to put it that way. Or they had a tutor. Now, remember, this tutor is a spirit. You can't see these spirits. We've talked about on many, many shows, and this is all throughout the movies, but they're there chirping in your ear, putting thoughts in your head, making you feel. And without replacing that tutelary demon, or the tutelary disposition that's designed to do what? Now, remember, the watchers, what do? They fail. 200 of them at least. So you got a good watcher and you got a bad watcher. But okay, where you get that from? Romans chapter 7 and Romans chapter 8. I wrote a whole book about it. It's called I Am Too Human. Another word that's not mentioned in the Bible. What is that? An identity. So if you put on humanity, you have to take off your divinity. Where did I get that from? Psalms 82 verse 6. John chapter 10. This is all throughout the Helios Biblius. That's what's really going on in this dimension. So if you don't know your true identity, you get to pick one. You don't know your true gender, you get to pick one. And you're probably not going to pick the right one. So the goal is for you to trace back your God-given identity and be who God designed you to be or have what God designed you to have, then give what God has designed you to give, so you can get what God has designed you to get. That's the creative formula. The creative formula is not be, do, have. The creative formula is have. So you don't have, I have to have what God gave me. Now, if I don't want what God gave me masculinity. Now, I can give it back and I can say, okay, God, I don't want what you gave me. You know, I can do what everybody else is doing. That goes against nature. That goes against divinity. That's the whole point of being on this dimension, because you have something called free will. Although it's limited, you still got free will. So this topic, you know, we're talking about, why? Because the spiritual identity crisis is getting worse, and it's trickling down now into gender. When I was a young man growing up, it was just people kind of whispered in the background. Now it's flamboyant. Now it's out front. Now they get angry, the LGBT movement. If you don't like them, they are proactive and aggressive. They're not in the closet no more. Where y'all think we're going to be 20 years from now as that movement grows? Because that the movement has nothing, gender has nothing to do with flesh and blood. Gender is an attack on God. Gender is saying that the universe, that God, whether you believe in God, again, is irrelevant because he believes in you. How do I know he believes in you? Because he's inside of you. How do I know he's inside of you? Because you're here. How do I know you're here? You listen to this show. You got flesh and blood. If I shoot you, you bleed. So we can play the verbal games that everybody play and do verbal judo, but at the end of the day, there's something called etymology. There's something called truth. There's something called math. There's something called physics. And there's something called cosmology. And so you have protons, neutrons, and electrons. And if I remove that electron out your body, then the other ones, they fly off and they become antimatter. The electron is the elect. The elect is the El. The El is the Elohim. The Elohim is God. If even with physics, if you take an electron out of an atom, what happens to the atom? It becomes unstable. That's why they make nuclear weapons. What happens when you take the air? When you take God out of anything, what happens to it? It becomes unstable. It becomes unbalanced. You got to keep the electron in everything. If you take out an electron out of anything, the electron brings about the stability. That's the El. That's the elect. That's the elders. That's the Elohim. That's God. And what has happened when you remove, then you get gender bending. You get all this other stuff that's going on. Why? There is no balance. There is nothing to trace back to get you back to source. Because the source is innate. It's something that's designed to tutor, to watch over, to make sure that you don't stray off course. Then you become a sociopath or a psychopath because you're on the wrong path. And then you get a pathology. That's called a disease. Because you're uneasy, because inside you know, even though you may not accept or acknowledge, but you know, because you got a conscience. And it says, when you're at home at night by yourself, all TV and all electronics are off, in your gut, in your spirit, you know. How do I know? Because I can look you in the eye because I know. And these are the conversations that we got to have, brothers and sisters, because without tracing this stuff, we fall into all of the sabotaging spiritual traps that's designed to sabotage your spiritual growth. And if you got a whole generation of children, their parents in New York, they passed a law where you can put on a birth, you can have a gender neutral birth certificate. Did you guys know that? A gender neutral. So if you was a young kid growing up, how confused would you be if your parents told you that you could pick your gender? Thankfully, I didn't grow up in that era. But you mean to tell me that I can have a gender-neutral birth certificate? So on my birth certificate, it doesn't say male or female. Are you serious? So there is a push, I think it's not, besides New York, I think New York has already actually passed it, but I think California has become the first, it's either New York or California, they became the first state to allow a gender-neutral identification on your birth certificate. So that way a child has to choose his birth certificate, its gender. When nature already chose it, or biology already chose it, or God already chose it, because you was born. Now, whether you feel or whether you don't like that gender, that's another study for another time. But it has been, or you have been given a specific gender. So, brothers and sisters, I didn't, you know, obviously that there is, this isn't a yes or no message or a clear cut message. Because when we're talking about gender, because gender, again, is how you use. It's just like a firearm. People want to outlaw guns because people use guns to kill people. It's the whole gun law, gun rights. It's the same debate. So do guns kill people? No. I've never seen a gun load itself, jump out the shelf, run down the street, and shoot nobody. I've never seen it. If you have, please send me the video, and I'll stop teaching. I've never seen a gun kill somebody. I've seen a gun in the hand of a male or female. I've never seen a gun that was programmed. Now, down 5 years from now, they may put a computer chip in the gun and be able to remotely control the gun so that way the gun can go without having somebody in there now. But same thing, the gun does not have the intelligence. Because it is an inanimate object that was made by somebody. Now, we can put technology in that. Always, you know, people are going to come up with a smart response. That's not a response. It's just getting you to spend time debating a non-issue so that way you cannot be spiritually effective. Because people don't want to build spiritual organizations. People don't want to establish the kingdom of God on this earth. They rather debate about non-issues like race and gender and all the craziness that Donald Trump is doing, putting a wall up. Why? It causes division. It causes a distraction. It keeps you from being effective so that way you can't pay your light bill. You don't have time to establish a relationship with your children. You're not able to build a savings so that way you're not able to go to the gym or exercise or eat healthy food. All of this is a distraction. This issue is no different. At the end of the day, brothers and sisters, there's only one thing, whose you are and who you are. If you don't know the answer to that question, if you do not know whose you are, who's your daddy? Your God type is your blood type. Whose you are. W-H-O-S-E, whose. And if you don't know W-H-O, who? Who are you? Why are you here? Where did you came from? Where did you come from? And where are you going? Answer, you are a spirit that has possession of a soul that is temporarily driving a vehicle called a body. When that vehicle dies, when you run out of gas, when you have to replace that vehicle, your soul has recorded. It is the memories of everything that the spirit did while in the body. Your spirit takes your soul, which is basically a computer. It's the CPU, the central processing unit, that records everything that the spirit did. So if you can tell me what is the gender of a non-animate from our definition of physicality based upon the electromagnetic spectrum, spirits have to be dumbed down or slowed down in order to be visible on this dimension. When you speed it up, just like what Jesus did on the Mount of Olives, it did what? It transfigured. That's what we get the word transgender. Transgendering is a manipulation of the transfiguring that takes place during the transferring or the transformation. Romans 8, be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. So if your mind is not renewed, you can talk about stuff like transgender because there is no transferring that brings about a transitioning of your spirit. Because at the end of the day, that's what should be happening. You should be renewing your mind. There should be a renewing of the mind. How? The Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you keep hearing that you are gender neutral and you can choose and pick your gender, faith cometh by hearing. It didn't say what you hear, because we should be hearing the word of God, which is written inside of your heart. But if you're hearing the words of men, you're going to create the world of men. So it all comes about through what is called predictive programming, which is nothing but immersion therapy, which is nothing but television, which is nothing but tele, which means to transport. Vision means mental picture. So as I've been saying for 20 years, whatever is frequently repeated that produces an emotional charge, that's what you believe. So I'm just going to keep telling you the same thing. You're gender neutral. 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 I just keep telling you. I keep telling you that from the time you're born. If I keep frequently repeating it, it's going to produce an emotional connection, a charge. That emotional charge, you're willing to fight. You hurt somebody because you're emotionally, I frequently repeated it. And since I frequently repeated the lie, you are emotional about the lie. And you no longer focus on whether the lie is results oriented, produces fruit. You're focusing on whether the lie is a rule. So you're interested in fighting for your belief and not a result. I'm not interested in beliefs or tradition. I'm interested in results or dominion. I'm not interested in a belief that positive thinking pays my light bill. That's a belief that if I think a certain way, money's going to come to me and I'm going to pay my light bill. I'm interested in getting up every day and going to work and doing a purpose-based business that produces results, that brings about money, that's the medium of exchange on this dimension, so that I can go and pay my light bill, so I can get out of Groundhog's Day. I'm interested in fruit and results. I'm not interested in trying to come up with a clever scheme by which to avoid a clearly defined issue. Clearly defined meaning that there has been a prior selection. In this case, we're talking about whether you are male or female. To my knowledge, there is no biological way that doesn't involve the manipulation of by men and some clever doctors by which to change that biological selection. Guess what? Same thing spiritually. Brothers and sisters, it's extremely important that you trace back your identity, especially when it comes to spirituality, to understand that you are a spirit. You were not given one. That's who you really are at your base, at your core. What is a spirit? A spirit is a group of related thoughts that we call, again, a soul. That means that your spirit records things that gives it an identity. If you remove that recording, you remove that identity. If I take away your memories, what are you? If I strip you of all your memories, if you had amnesia, if I hit you in the head with a 2x4 and you woke up tomorrow with amnesia, you do not know your name or nothing, who are you? You're still a spirit. You just forgot the activities that you did while you was here. So if I can remind you of those activities, removing your memories doesn't remove your identity. It removes what you did while you was in that identity. You are not your memories. You're not what you do. You are what you designed. It is the inability to understand our design that causes the problem. So your job is to understand your design. That's the only way that you can shine. And the way that you understand your design is by understanding God's mind. To the degree that you can understand God's mind, to the degree that your thoughts can be elevated to God's thoughts, is that's the degree that you become effective on this dimension. That's the whole purpose of the Kingdom Enash Training Center, is for us to download God's mind into our design. If not, then we have to put on somebody else's clothing. We have to put on somebody else's identity because we don't identify with our Father. Our Father, which art in heaven, that's where our Father is at. Whether we know him, he knows us. And there is an asserted effort to make sure that you don't get back to Father. Your job is to make sure that you're putting all of your resources into identifying with your heavenly Father because that's who you really are. You're made in his image and his likeness, regardless of how little or how much you may know about your Father. Your job is to connect with people like myself so that way you can get a clear understanding of what it means to have an identity and what it means when you're having an identity crisis. What is going on today is an identity crisis. It's the inability to connect with our true identical source. We're connecting with something that's not authentic, something that is not real. So, brothers and sisters, thank you so much. Shout out to my daughter. So thank you, Shamora, for coming in and sharing with the people, especially from a younger person's perspective. Like I said, Shamora's 18, so in college, doing great, and really proud of her. It's not easy being a young person growing up these days. There's so many obstacles, so many distractions out there today. You get a lot of stuff. She's bombarded with a lot of stuff, a lot of choices, a lot of decisions that you have to make. So shout out to you, Shamora. Thank you so much for being on today's show. Brothers and sisters, I love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. His name is Yahuwah. May His Son bless you. His name is Yahushua. And may the Ruach, the set apart one, continue to lead you and guide you in all truth, because it will never, ever, ever manipulate or control you. And as always, my brothers, as always, my sisters, I will, no doubt about it, I will see you in eternity. God bless you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Never knew that I would be the one to break through. Now I wake up and I pay dues, so faithful. Better watch out for them fake fools, the snakes too. Can't be paid up on the frame, dude, we stay true. Everything I do is from God to raise you.
Yeah, life is like a testing ground, it's to grade you.
Yeah.
It'll show you how you are to God, or degrade you. When I pop up on this cold beat, I'm an angel. I can see right through your angle, dog, when I grace flow. Started out as hungry young bulls out to make dough. Make the system off the pedestal, using all this bull. When I drop the dirty heavy stool, I flush the toilet too. Yeah, I know that I'm not perfect, but I put in work too. Cause faith without some work, dog, it'll murk you. Haters, haters been inside your head, outsmarting you. Haters, haters taking all your bread, outworking you.
Everything I do is from God.